Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey, Spotify listener. Your leadership skills are in demand, especially in healthcare. In fact, the demand for qualified healthcare administrators is projected to grow 32% by 2029. At USciences Online, we partnered with Geisinger Commonwealth School of Medicine for an online master's degree that covers every healthcare administrative essential, from law to leadership. Learn more about how to take your career to a leadership level by exploring our Master of Science in Health Administration at online.usciences.edu.
Hello, everyone, and we're back. This is part two of our summer seasonal finale episodes. We have 6 more animes to go through. So that's going to be about another hour, so let's get to it, right?
I love how you just pray, like, hey, this is going to be a fucking hour, so sit down, grab your popcorn, and let's go for a ride.
All right, should we start with the disappointing one?
Sure.
Detective is already dead.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it, you know, honestly, I wouldn't say I was totally disappointed. It definitely lost steam toward the end.
It's not as good as it started.
For sure.
Like, if you take Siesta and Kimi's relationship out of the equation, it's...
meh.
It's not good. Like, I don't give a shit about anyone. Like, what happened to Char? Did Siesta basically beat her into submission to call her mommy, or...
What
happened with Chameleon? What happened with...
Yeah.
What did Nagisa do with Siesta after the whole Siesta issue?
Yeah.
There was no development of everyone else. Like, Fubi, Yui, all this shit.
Well, Yui kind of got some backstory.
Yeah, but after that, she was like a background. Hey, I'm rich. Here's my boat.
I mean,
and everyone's a fucking detective.
I'm not as upset about Yui as you brought up all the other characters.
Fuck Charlotte. She's hot, but fuck her.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, again, like, even with Kimi by himself, he's not really a developed character outside of her.
I like Kimi.
I like him too, though, but there wasn't much more of him outside of Siesta. Like, that was it. But when it came to, like, outside of Alice, like, Nagisa, Yui, Charlotte, Fubi, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I got out of it. And I told you, I called it with the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
I hate it, right.
You want to know something, honestly? That was something else I wasn't a fan of. So basically, one of the things that's brought up in the finale is the fact that that Siesta's heart... You know, I'm very curious also. Something tells me if they do a season two... it wouldn't shock me in the least to learn Siesta was part of Spes at some point, because
she was
she
yeah
is that confirmed how
No, it's in the light novel.
Oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't read the fucking light novel.
I haven't either. But yeah, that's why she's after them. She was a former agent. Her goal was to take it down.
You know something? I wasn't thinking that. What gave it away for me is the fact that she's like, well, my heart is built a little bit differently. And she's able to change into other people. And her existence and her conscience still exists through her heart. And that's how she was able to change between Natsunagi and herself, because she had subdued Hell's subconscious and killed her mentally. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. Like, yeah. It was way too far-fetched. I understand the show's been through some far-fetched shit. Like, people,
and the fact that she may have seemed like that was her plan the entire time.
Huh?
And she may have like, oh, this was the plan all along, basically.
I didn't mind that so much. It's just, you know, there were parts of the show that were far-fetched from the moment that you first started watching it, when you have somebody shooting a fucking a Winchester rifle in a fucking airplane, and the airplane doesn't have holes in it and shit. Like, okay, you know, I think that's kind of some bullshit, but you know, I let it slide because the action was pretty cool. But you know, by the end of it, like with her, like, oh, like the fucking girl ended up having split personality syndrome, and then she has no personality. Now it's Siesta with black hair. Like,
what the shit, hell.
I don't know. Like, I appreciated, you know, fucking the end, you know, with Natsunagi and
yeah,
and there's hope.
Again, everything before though is
it didn't hit. It just didn't hit. It started off as like a 4, 4.5, and then by the time it was done, it's a low end three out of five, out of the best, I'd say.
Yeah, I gave it a 6.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah.
I like Siesta, I like Kimmy, but when they're not together, they're shitty.
Yeah, they're not really developed very well, and it's not the best for sure. Yeah, and I wish they would. I really do wish they would have delved more into it. It would have been cool also if they would have, especially because like Natsunagi and what's his face are in the same class. So, well, you know.
Maybe.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And Kimmy are in the same class. But you know something that's very interesting, how Hell said like, oh, I want to go to school and stuff, and she's like, oh, I'll just go to school with Kimmy, and Kimmy doesn't remember shit because of the pollen.
We find out Hell didn't drug him, it was just more of the pollen from the beast.
Yeah, so it was all right.
I don't know.
The more we talk about it, the more disappointing it is. But
I know the potential was so much there.
It's in, well, you know, I didn't see Sunny Boy, so spoiler alert number two, if you were listening, sorry, to episode one, we gave away Matthew's most disappointing anime, and we gave away one of my top anime of the season. Spoiler alert number two, this was my thriller of the year, only because I didn't see Sunny Boy. I think you'll probably put Sunny Boy, not thriller, I'm sorry,
Mystery.
Mystery of the year, because I didn't see Sunny Boy. You'll probably put Sunny Boy.
I probably will because I feel like that was the only one that was like a legit mystery.
Instead
of just CS's bouncing tits and drugging.
Hey, I liked her bouncing tits. Okay?
I do too, but that's. I feel like with the mystery of her dead and all that, like it wasn't really satisfying.
It wasn't. No, this it wasn't. The end was cute. I didn't mind the end at all. The end was way better to me than the penultimate episode. The penultimate episode, I was just like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, and now she could talk to herself through her heart.
I mean, people do that, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know. People legit do that. Like, you can have a conversation with yourself. You
know, I know, but, like, not, like, your heart. Like, your conscience is not the...
Well, I mean, you know, they say, you know, people think for men, they think with their two heads, you know? So, hey, you can talk. Maybe you're hard. I kind of bought that.
So, is there a way for Siesta to get her physical body? Like, where is that?
Dead. It's gone. Buried.
But did they bury it?
Yeah, I would assume so. Maybe they cremated it. Who knows?
No, it's, like, left in the... where they were.
So, at the end, when fucking... when Kimi and Natsunagi were drinking at the bar, and they're like, hey, after this, you want to go to the hotel room? Like, is he gonna fuck Natsunagi or is he fucking Siesta?
I mean, to be fair, it's an orgy because you have Hell, Siesta, and Nagisa in there.
Oh my god, bro. I mean, hey.
He's gonna fuck the personality out of all of them.
I hope they do a dojin of that.
Oh god, and Alicia, fuck.
Nah, I hope they do a dojin of that. That would be pretty wicked.
I'm pretty sure there is by now. But before that, it's like, oh, there's a murderer on the boat or something. Yeah. They didn't even get a chance to finish setting sail. What?
I said they didn't even get a chance to finish setting sail before their fucking next mystery happened.
Yeah, and it felt like that how it ended was like the first episode, like Kimmy being dragged while this, all the person's like looking back like with that smile, like Siesta did it to Kimmy. Now you see Nagisa doing that to Kimmy.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I didn't mind the end. It was just the whole show as a whole. It missed. It was a miss.
Watch the case is the chameleon's dead body.
Wouldn't shock me.
Like, oh, how did this happen? I did it.
For real. Like, oh, season 2, episode 1. Who's our villain? Turtle.
Oh god, don't give him ideas. I mean, Kumori could escape jail. That guy from the first episode.
I guess.
I guess. But yeah, we better get some Charlotte background. Like, why is she simping for someone that she calls mommy?
Basically.
Like, what's the deal here? Did she find her at a BDSM club and just choke me?
Hey, you never know.
I mean, with her outfits, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, I'm not going to lie. When she was fucking shooting the machine gun, which I thought was fucking so hokey.
That was cool.
I thought it was hokey.
I mean, I'll take the guns, just not her.
I was staring at her crotch when she was like, crouching down shooting.
Well, again, her outfit.
Yeah, she was in a bunny girl outfit, I think.
More essentially.
Essentially, it was a bunny girl outfit without the tail and ears.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I was let down, but it was still better than Nighthead.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I'm checking the Annie-List rating, the highest rating. Nighthead got higher than Detective is Dead.
Did it really?
Yes.
Let me see what Annie-List said.
Detective is Dead got a 6.4. Nighthead got a 6.7. And Girlfriend got higher with a 6.71.
We'll talk about Girlfriend next, because
we'll get that later.
I love. We'll talk about it next after this, because I love the end.
Oh yeah. The lowest rating for spring is DCTM Toromera with a 5.5.
Didn't watch it.
I didn't either.
Gave it a 62. Endless gave Detective a 62, and they gave Girlfriend a 89. I'm just kidding. 65.
All right, that's fair.
So let's move on. Let's talk about Girlfriend.
All right. The best girl fully appeared and got characters.
She's not the best girl to me. The best girl still is Nagisa.
I still love Shino. Nagisa is second.
I mean, bro, we got to see Shino butt-ass naked. Hold on. I want to tell a story real quick.
Let's tell a story.
So while I was on vacation, for those who didn't listen to episode 1, if you listen to episode 2, the reason why we have a 3-week hiatus is because of the fact that I was on vacation and it took me a long-ass time to catch up on anime. So while I was on vacation, one of the things I did was I went to AEW Wrestling. AEW. I went to the Prudential Center. So I took my happy ass from Long Island to Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. It's a lot of travel for those who don't know. It's a 3-hour or longer like travel time in terms of taking trains and buses and such. So my ass, after I got out of AEW, waiting time to kill for the train to go back to the city, I decided to try and catch up on Girlfriend. And let me tell you, if you have seen the penultimate episode and the finale as well. For, if you haven't seen it, let me tell you, it's edgy as fuck. It looks, with zero context, if you're in a public forum with zero context and you see someone laughing at their phone, if you happen to be near them and you glance at their phone and you see a naked anime girl, it's a bad perception.
They're going to think it's a hentai.
They think you, yeah, you're looking at hentai in public, you fucking creep. That's literally what I thought after the fact, but I'm dying laughing at Shino being butt-ass naked in front of Nioya. I'm just dying in the middle of a fucking train going from Newark to fucking to World Trade Center.
And she's like, I don't care. We need to have this discussion of you being a two-timing bitch.
Bro. And fucking Saki when fucking...
We'll get to that. She pulls his pants. She pulls Noya's pants down.
Oh,
and he fell down, and then she was on top of him.
So wait, hold on, let me explain this. Let me go back. We'll go back a couple episodes. You know, it took about two or three episodes. So let's go back a couple episodes. Episode 10, I believe it is, right? I think it's episode 10 or episode 11. Starts. We leave off basically with Nioya falling into Rika's
hot tub.
And so Rika's like, oh, I'm gonna seduce the shit out of you. And that's how the episode 9 ends. Episode 10 starts with
that was 10.
Oh, that was 10. Okay, so episode 11 is where they start in the tub. Yeah, so the penultimate episode is where they start off in the tub. And so when they're in the tub, you know, Rika's like, oh, I'm gonna seduce the shit out of you. And Naya's like, oh, you're gonna make me feel your boobs? And she's like, no, that's like later. And she's like, no. And then she like has like this kind of like epiphany. She's like, listen, I really, really, really want you to like me. So I don't know anything about you. Let's talk. And he's like, no, I gotta find the geese. He's like, listen, just give me 5 minutes.
Literally 5 minutes.
And Nioya relents and he's like, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. And they have a productive, nice conversation. They made me like Rika a little bit more, honestly, seeing that conversation. And some shit happens at the end of the 5 minutes and her towel falls off and he gets kicked out. She's embarrassed because Nioya has now seen all of her tits and pussy. Yep. And so we move on and fucking we keep going and fucking Nioya is trying to find Nagisa, and ends up in Shino's hot tub.
And she's like, what are you doing here?
And basically Shino starts interrogating Nioya and Nioya is trying to deny it. And Shino is like telling him all the negatives of being a two-timing asshole.
Especially a poly relationship.
About being in a poly relationship. And Noelia's like, wow, I never thought about any of that stuff. It's good to keep in mind. She's like, but listen, I gotta go. And she was like, no, you gotta let me know. Are you doing this? And she grabs Noelia by the pants.
First he tells her, like, you're actually a good friend to her, to Saki.
And this isn't the time.
And then you see his pants fall down.
And then, they have a struggle. And then Nagisa and Saki come into Shino's towel and they're like, oh, like, and by the way, Noya's like, hey, your towel's falling down. And Shino's like, I don't care. I have less than Saki. You're not going to see anything. That made me chuckle.
Well, that's the thing. She has a better ass than everyone.
Oh, my God. And so eventually during the struggle, Noya's pants fall off. Shino's towel falls off. And at the moment that Nagisa and Saki show up into Shino's pool looking for Nioya, we see a butt-ass naked Shino on top of a Nioya with no visible pants on. And this is where I died laughing in the train. The first thing she's like, it's totally in.
It's not.
I lost it on the train. That shit was so funny to me. She's like, it's totally in. And Shino's like, no, it's not. It's not in.
And she's like, why are you having sex with me? First someone steals a kiss and now my best friend is fucking him. And then you see Shino like get off and he's like, oh, he's clothed.
Like, oh, he got his underwear on. But they digress. And
now Shino finally realizes she's naked in front of everyone else now.
Yeah, but like completely butt-ass naked, like, bro, like, and you know, Nioya's broken. Like, you know, I think of like the opposites. I think of like girlfriend. Like, you remember girlfriend? Like, this dude was like a horny ass dude, like constantly jerking off and shit to the thoughts of fucking of Chizuru.
Yeah.
We have Nioya, he's seen three women on this trip thus far, none of whom are his girlfriend, butt naked, and has not gotten hard once. One of those women is on top of him, butt ass naked, pussy on dick. on clothed dick, but on dick.
He just knows how to contain himself. Like,
he's got no what, bro? Oh my god! Like,
the power of his virginity is strong. When I start
thinking, like, bro, just me thinking about like me and my past escapades gives me a little chub. Like, and this guy's got a whole butt ass naked girl in front of him, on top of him, and doesn't at least pop a wood.
Oh, well, that's what happened.
Bro, no wonder the birthing rate in Japan is so low. Holy shit.
Well,
you got nothing for that one, do you?
I don't. I fucking don't.
Got him.
but anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, the end of the girlfriend is really nice. Basically,
Nagisa, at the end, I have a secret to tell you.
Yeah. So keep going, man. I thought you were saying let's move on to like a different one.
No, we're still going with this.
Keep going.
It says now you see how Nagisa was before she did Inoya. Like, she wasn't good at stuff.
Oh, that's how the penultimate episode ends that way, and it begins the finale. It begins that way.
Yeah,
story about how she was a loser and she wasn't good at anything. She's not smart.
Until she saw Inoya and Saki, like Noya's like determination, like I love you, all that type of thing to Saki, because they weren't dating.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, you tell me how you feel after like graduate, like if we pass, like guess.
Yeah.
So tell me now. This, so for some reason lit a fire at a cunt had to
This whole caveat though begins and ends with, listen, don't tell Naoya what I'm gonna tell you. I'm too hazukashi about it, which means it's embarrassed in Japanese.
Yeah.
And her stupid ass didn't realize that the boys' bathroom is on the other side. Naoya's by himself listening.
And he heard
every single word. And of course, Naoya, because he's a fucking moron too, was like, hey, Nagisa, don't worry about you being stupid or anything. Like, I still love you. And she's like, oh my God, you heard everything. And she fucking takes off like a bat out of hell. Not realizing, by the way, that she got herself in shape by running. So she's actually a pretty good long cross-country runner by proxy of what happens. And so everybody starts running after Nagisa. Noya's running after Nagisa. Saki's running after Nagisa and Nagoya. Rika starts running because they pass her. Shino starts running once they pass her. And they all start running after Nagisa and Naoya, trying to find out what's going on. And fucking eventually the three girls get tired and whatever. So they end up taking a cab to their ultimate destination. But meanwhile, it's fucking Nagisa and Naoya, Nagisa and Nagoya, Nagisa and Naoya, Nagisa and Nagoya, just running, and they're casually talking back and forth until eventually, of course, in front of the beautiful sunset in front of the lake, Naoya creepily manages to fucking corner Nagisa, and they have a heart-to-heart, and eventually everybody catches up, everything, all Zelda ends well, and Shino's like, wait, are you two-timing? And then Naoya's dumbass was like, yes!
He's like, well, no going back now.
Everybody run, and they run
and
away.
Then Nagisa kissed Noya on the cheek in front of Saki. Like, sorry in advance, but I'm not being a side bitch anymore, basically.
Yeah, and fucking Saki's like, bring it on, bitch.
Oh yeah, now they fight. There you go, and fisticuffs.
Yeah, now they're really going at it. Meanwhile, Shino's like, oh my god. But you know, an interesting part is throughout this, we find out toward the end. So basically, after the trip is over, they're like, listen, Shino's like, listen, we have to have a conversation. So they go to her house and they have a conversation about what's going on. They accept responsibility, but they're not going to stop, blah, 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 blah. And Shino at the end was like, you know, I have to stop this for Saki's sake and for my sake so I can forget about the man who loves Saki. And Shino has a secret crush on Naoya. Yeah. Has a crush on Naoya. And then also the conversation that he has with Shino about Saki and being her friend and other things. And like, basically we see a flashback also of Shino looking at Saki and Shino looking at Naoya and seeing the determination for Saki, how it moves her as well. Right. So we get that little tidbit as well. And so the end basically is how basically all the girls are in the shed, including Shino, and they're one big happy orgy.
And then they fucked.
I mean, I wish we would see that. I hope, you know what's funny? Speaking of fucking, I managed to see a doujin of girlfriend, and it's pretty graphic. And I'm thinking to myself this whole time, I was like, oh, I wonder if we get to see one for, I'm sorry, not girlfriend, for Rent-A-Girlfriend.
Right.
And I hope we get to see one for Girlfriend, Girlfriend. That's what I'm.
Yeah, right. All right. But yeah, this overall, this was funny.
This was funny. Like, you know, I was
much better than Rent-A-Girlfriend.
It was much better. I agree. Way better than Rent-A-Girlfriend. I laughed way exponentially more. There are parts of the show that really bothered me, but then there are other parts that, like I said, it really popped me. The ending, the last two episodes, last three episodes were fucking phenomenal. The best parts of the series were the last three episodes. Right. And it was very solid. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. But yeah, much better girls. Anoya, he's creepy, but also...
I just,
you know, he's very determined.
He's just, I'll talk about it. I'll talk. He's creepy. He's fucking creepy.
Well, that's
we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it
during the awards.
Yeah, we'll talk about it then.
All right. But again, I definitely enjoyed this one. Where are we now? Which one do we want to do?
We've got Girlfriend, Girlfriend. We've got Shigeki. We've got, not Aquatope. We did Detective. Just a quick reminder for anybody that's listening now. Again, I'm still behind on Boruto, Aquatope, and Scarlet Nexus. So we're not doing those because of the fact that those are continual into the fall season. So we'll pick up. Hopefully, I'll catch up and we'll pick up.
If he is somehow caught up by Aquatope by before the awards, we can talk about it briefly.
Yeah, that's the next one on my list. I'm gonna try and catch up on Aquatope so that hopefully by Monday, as we record Monday, we can maybe talk about it. But in any case, let's go with Realist Hero.
All right. This got a bit better.
I liked it.
No, I liked it too. Like, I feel like it was just average during the beginning, but now it just, that was like now I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I liked it. It was very solid. Like,
Soma showing some fucking balls.
He did.
With like, hey, I could actually be this Rufus guy and during this battle. And he, what was that guy's name? The aircraft one.
The what?
The one of the council guys.
You said the Air Force guy?
Yes.
I don't know, like Fernando or some shit. I don't fucking remember.
Yeah, no, basically who gives a shit. But he lost quite easily, apparently.
Yeah, he had no shot. He had no shot. But it was due to, of course, his cunning.
And he's like, hey, now you have this slave collar.
Everyone got slave collars. You get a slave collar. You get a slave collar.
Right.
Slave
and
collar. Everybody gets a slave collar.
He lost like the Air Force is all mine. Hey, can you give the order to go attack this base?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you got it. And you see Carmine, who was actually disappointed. In a sense, like, I was expecting him to be in action. And the fact we didn't get that was a bit of a letdown.
Well, this show, you know, I've gotten to and I accept the fact that this is an isekai that won't provide you action. And I'm okay with that because we have so many isekais that do give us great action.
Yeah, but I want to see him do something instead of just saying, hey, you all have state colors now because you want to use civilians as a sacrifice. Fuck you guys.
I mean, dude, like, I'm okay with Soma just being fucking smart as shit. He's like Shikamaru, bro. If we're talking about Naruto and
Bakugo. Him I'm fine. I was talking about just the Carmine guy. That's it.
Oh, dude, Carmine. Yeah, he just rolled over like a puppy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He's like a fucking cub. That's what I'm talking about. I wasn't talking about the anime. I was talking about him.
I thought you were talking about the show. Sorry.
No, I was just talking about him.
My apologies.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, I'm ready to see him fight. What's he going to do? And he's just like, he just turns over like, fuck you. Like, I ain't fighting. Like,
but then we find out why, though.
What?
We find out why he did that. There is a reason.
There's a reason, but it's just like, come on, this big burly guy. I want to see if I Lucius.
Yeah, you think he'd go like full beast mode or something? Like,
you're
go
right, or
he'd go lion. He'd go lion.
Yes, so you go Beauty and the Beast on Lucius. Like, he'll be the bell.
Nope, not quite.
Well.
But it was good. Like I said,
no, it was definitely great.
It was great. And the end of the episode is very nice. Basically, Soma, thinking ahead because he's a genius, is like, you know, they're like, oh, but you realize with this pact and they said that the kingdom is a assignee of this like non-aggression pact. And the kingdom where Soma's in control of was not. And so he's like, yeah, I'm aware of that. He's like, eventually the empire will come for me and come for us. So let's just, you know, do our best. Let's, you know, whatever. And we'll cross that bridge when they go. And so we get a nice wholesome episode for the finale. And it's basically of what's her face? Juma. Juna, Soma, and the little beast girl that can speak to demons.
Tomo.
Is it Tomo? Yeah, Tomo. They go out on like a nice little family gathering, and you know, they go around the village and you know, do like, you know, like Soma likes to like do like, you know, his like little surveillance and stuff, not realizing by the way that the princess of the people that he just like defeated is still in the village, still in hiding, with her financial director and things of that nature. But we digress. Basically, after this nice moment, they lay Tomo down, she takes a nap, and they are brought, they are confronted rather by the head of like at some like special division,
another kingdom, yeah
from the empire. And the woman is the younger sister of the queen, and right. They have like a very good back and forth between her and Soma. They both, even though they have different views, they share a lot of similar ideas, even if their like fundamental views are different. And so it was very nice to see like a back and forth between two educated people. And we get confirmation basically that again, Soma was a human sacrifice at the very beginning of the show. His only purpose was to be given to the empire. However, the empire requested that they do the hero summoning, and said that would suffice, thinking like, oh, it would never happen. But it was the empire that was the actual ones that told the kingdom that they could do that. So at the behest of them is why Soma's there. And Soma's like, you know what, it's fine, you know, what's done is done, and besides, I found a family that I want to protect, which is very, very kind. It was a very, very nice moment that he shared. And so they're like, well, good luck. I'm like, yep, hopefully you're not bad, likewise. And then it's basically the end of the season. It was announced after the season that a part two will happen in winter 2022. So it'll happen right in January for us. So that'll be great. I'm looking forward to that tremendously. And like I said before, it's just, you know, I'm very happy that this is such a unique take on Isekai. And I appreciated it. Sure, it's light on action, but I mean, dude, we had fucking slime this season. I got plenty of action through slime. I got plenty of action through Tsukimichi, honestly, at the end too. So this didn't need to be one of those like, oh my god, crazy powers, like this guy is fucking a genius, that's how he's OP.
No, I definitely liked how he was. I do wish I saw more of the other characters, like Pancho, Tomo.
Some of them were annoying,
sure. I know, but I was like, yeah,
we saw a lot of Alicia. So fucking yeah, we
right. And the strategist guy, what was his name?
I don't know, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I hope they do an episode on him.
Yeah, like, I want a little more instead of just Pancho being this food guy and Tomo just, hey, I can talk to the demons and I know what they say. Okay, we're adopting you and fuck off.
Get that backstory probably as the show draws to a close, or as it gets into like the
I'm hoping to see that.
Yeah, we'll get that. We'll get her story. But yeah, we don't get much on Pancho, and we don't get much on the minister, the black minister, as they call them.
Right. That's where I was like, kind of like, what the shit? Come on.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I wanted more of these guys, except for Juno and the elf wanted to get into his pants.
I hope they fuck. I do hope. That'd be great.
I'm sure they will fuck. I have no doubt they'll fuck.
Man, and then, you know, it's funny that they're like, oh, we're hoping during the negotiation the queen would, you know, be able to seduce you. Go ahead and make the queen and me your concubines too. So he might end up with the seven concubines.
Right. We will see.
It was great. It was a good end. I was very, very happy with that. It was a very, you know, it felt like a mediocre anime, and it closed better than I expected. And,
right.
You know, I'm looking forward to season two.
Anyway, let's get to some good shit.
Let's get to some good shit, dude. Let's
Duke of Death.
The best romance of the year.
Oh my
god. Before
we get to that finale, let's just talk about
Was Horimiya 2021?
What?
Was Horimiya 2021?
Yeah, that was winter.
All right, it can't go over Horimiya. But one of the best. It's in the top three of romances of the season.
But couple wise, I like
exactly romance of the season.
Could be very fun, tricky.
With what?
No,
it beat Remake, and I love Remake. I've been talking about Remake on all of our podcasts.
No. I talk about as a show, or talk about just the terms of romance.
No, in terms of like the romance aspect.
Oh, no, nothing was going to top it this season.
Yeah, dude, it's got the ship of the year. It's got the best boy and girl, in my opinion, of the fucking year.
Right?
You know, sorry, yeah. Guess another spoiler alert. I guess who I told you who my best
boy avoid is. Avoid the spoilers.
Yeah, bro, I'm just giving them away.
You're giving away the candy. The stop with the candy, man.
I know. I'm giving it away like fucking 10-layer cake at a fucking wedding right now.
Yeah, let's not.
But yeah, I mean, dude, it's got, you know, honestly, I was very, very surprised at how strong this finished. I get, you know what? No, I was about to ruin something else. Let me not say. I won't go. I'll get into that on Monday. But yeah, it's finished fucking tremendously strong. I thoroughly loved it. And the end made me cry. You know, it's easy to make me cry.
We'll get to that. But fucking Zayn.
Yeah.
That's how he is. Like he's trying to sabotage Bo-chan and Alice is like, hey, but we got this.
To because he was blackmailed with fucking cuffs and relationship.
Exactly. And then before that, Viola basically runs away from home.
No, so before that even happens, let's back up. So at the very beginning of episode 11, we'll go over, like I said, penultimate and then finale. At the beginning of episode 11, Viola and Winston, what's the brother's name?
Walter.
So Viola and Walter are going through old stuff in the main house, trying to find any cure they can help with Bo-chan, you know, relieving him of his curse. Something that Viola actually finds is an old log from around the time that Bo-chan got cursed. And so she brings it over. She has a disagreement with her mother. And like Matthew said, she decides to run away. When she runs over to the house. Oh, and by the way, we also find out that fucking Walter snitched out her sister.
Yeah,
the bitch. And told her, like,
this
yeah.
This is why you're second best.
And yeah, snitched out her sister. Like, oh, yeah, she's been going over to Bo-chan's house. And that comes into play in a little bit. But anyway, Viola goes over to Bo-chan's house, gives Alice the book. She starts thumbing through it. And there's a piece in the book that catches her eye as she's reading parts of it to Rob.
Yeah, it was the maid book.
Yeah, and it shows, it was like, oh, my mother's handwriting. And when she reads what her mother wrote, it said, oh, I was visited by two witches in white clothes and masks. And basically, they're describing Dalith and another witch.
Right.
And so Dalith is using, I think, a cat, one of the cats surveillance, and finds out about what Alice just found out. And so she's like, all right, it's time for me to make my move. So she calls in Zayn, tells Zayn, like, listen, I need you to get rid of that book. And she's like, oh, well, you know, those are my friends. I don't want to fuck up my friends.
It's like, hey, you're going to wear this.
He's like, hey, you like cuff? He's like, hey, you like cuff? Yeah, say goodbye to her if you don't. Like, fuck, all right. So he goes over there, does like his little secret covert mission, and Bo-chan finds him as he's about to destroy the book. And he tells Bo-chan everything about what he's doing. And he mentions, like, you know, she's watching us right now, but she, one of the downfalls of her trait is she can't hear what we're talking about. So here's what I'm going to do. And Zayn decides to use his magic. And he's like, listen, no, only Cuff has ever seen my magic. And now you don't tell anybody about my magic. I don't like my magic. Don't talk about it. Okay.
Yeah.
So he burns the book. He burns the book in front of Bo-chan.
He keeps a piece.
And he keeps a piece. And he said, as long as I have a piece of what I destroyed, I can bring it back to its original state whenever I feel like it. We're going to let the heat die down, and then I'll bring it back for you, and we'll see what's up. Like, okay.
He's and like, that pretend to be upset.
Right? He's like, ah! He's like, that's good.
Also, so, Viola likes slapping tits.
Yeah, she likes touching tits.
It's like, so soft.
Viola. So soft.
she just slapped her around. I was like,
But,
exactly. So she just loves the tits. And also the mom's like, hey, you dress like a tramp.
Basically. So fuck you, bitch. Anyway, so as we said, Walter, at the end of episode 11, Walter snitches out Viola at the behest of his mother, who put pressure on him. And so this causes Bo-chan's mother to invite Bo-chan to the main estate. And this is the first time that his mother has made contact with him since
like
the curse
10 happened. Years, yeah.
10 years. So Bo-chan was like 6, I think. Was he like 6 or 5?
I thought he was eight.
He was 8. Oh, so
because he's 18.
I'm surprised. Bo-chan doesn't look 18 at all. I guess maybe that's why they get away with some of the sexual stuff, because he's 18.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't know that. So
Bo-chan and Alice are 18.
Yeah, Bo-chan and Alice are 18. Awesome. So so that's the end of the penultimate episode. The finale, though. Woo! That finale was wicked.
Yeah, Bo-chan was nervous. Like, I don't know if I
Yeah,
he wanted to delay seeing his mother because, again, it's been so long. It's like
wanted to see her when he broke the curse. And he's also like, listen, since I'm gonna see my mother, I'm gonna ask her to that we're gonna get married, and that puts even more pressure. But and you know, we honestly, I love this so much. We see the resolve of Bo-chan. We see the love and support of Alice. And from the get-go, from the episode 12, there was immediate tension. And you can just see the resolve and the fear in both of them for the sake of their love. God damn, I felt that. I felt that so fucking much. So they go to the estate. And wait, hold on. Did the thing with Dolph happen at the end of episode 11 or 12?
11.
11. So we skipped over a part that's super critical.
Right, so Dala.
Dalith takes off her mask once she sees that the book is destroyed and Bo-chan's upset. She takes her mask off, stops looking, and she walks away from her altar. I guess she's like in some devil's altar. So she walks away from the altar, takes off her mask. She's a really pretty woman. She's got scars on her face, but she's a very pretty woman. And she's like, well, she's like, I guess she says something basically to a coffin, and she opens the coffin and she's like, isn't this like a wild like scenario, my dear Sharon? And we see Alice's mom in rest,
dead in that coffin,
in the coffin. She's basically in rest, as you know, like a state of rest, you know, if, as they've passed. So Dalith owns fucking Alice's mom's corpse.
Right.
Super crazy. And so another piece of that comes into play momentarily, as I'll get into. So basically, they go to the estate after a snowstorm. They get there late, and Bo-chan sees his mother. His mother's like, oh.
Well first, Walter and Viola greet him outside. And it's like, and then Walter admitted, hey, I'm the one that told Mom.
Yeah, so you're here because I snitched out Viola.
And he apologizes.
Yeah, and he's like, it's okay. You know, he's
like, it's like, it's really no big deal. And then,
yeah, it's no big deal. Like, this is going to happen eventually.
So Alice is like, hey, I'm going to go catch up with the other maids.
And they treat her like a whole child. They love her. They loved her mother. Like, it's very nice. She has a very nice, happy interaction with everybody there. Meanwhile, Bo-chan, as she's being led to his mother, she's walking with Alice and Walter. He's walking with Alice and Walter and all the maids.
Oh, Viola and Walter.
Viola and Walter, yeah. So they're all uneasy. They're scared. They're disgusted by him because they're fearful of his curse. And it makes Bo-chan uneasy, but he understands. He's used to this, so it is what it is.
The fact he's been gone for so long.
Yeah, so he sees his mother briefly. His mother's like, oh, it's good to see you. It's late. We'll talk tomorrow. And then fucking leave. And that's that. Didn't get a chance
and
to say.
And the mother sees Alice. She's like, Sharon? And he's like, you see her, like,
yeah. No, this is her daughter, Alice. And she's upset. And so...
You find out she hasn't been easy,
and she basically said that, they've said that ever since Sharon died, ever since her mother died, Bo-chan's mother's changed, and she's gotten darker, colder, worse, you know, mean, etc. The next day, though, is really, really, really critical to this story. Before dinner, Bo-chan and Viola go to the spot where Bo-chan was cursed in the main estate. It's in front of a grave, and they show the scene as a flashback, as like kind of like a retail of the story. And we see it, and we see the woman curse Bo-chan, and you can tell from who the woman is at the moment that they replay the event, it's Dalith. So it's not a matter of the witch being dead, it's a matter of Dalith being the witch that cursed Bo-chan because of something with Sharon at this point, which is insanity. So they're going to figure that out eventually, I'm sure, when they piece together that book again. Yeah, it's a wild ass ride. And so basically, as they're walking, Bo-chan's mother's there, tells Viola, like, stand away from your brother, he's dangerous, you're going to die. And then tells Bo-chan,
did he hurt you?
Dinner. So they go to dinner, and basically his mother's like, hey, you have until March. You have like 6 months. You have till the end of winter to break this curse. If you don't, I'm naming Walter the head. Like, okay. And that's it. You can go after dinner. And then what happened that necessitated like her is oh no, I know. So basically he's like, oh, mother, I want to tell you something. And she goes, what? Like, oh, you've met Alice, right? And she goes, yeah, she's a pretty girl, reminds me of her mother, I loved her mother. And she's like, yeah. And you know, and fucking
he starts simping
his dick off to his mother about Alice. Yeah. And he's like, I want to get married. And his mother tramples all over that dream and is like, oh, you're still the potential head of this family. You can't love anybody you want. You're not free to live your life. Your life is dictated by your family. Da 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 da.
And he gets mad.
Bo-chan goes the fuck off on his mother. And it was stupendous. He was like,
what do you know? You know nothing. Like, she was there for me while I was all alone. You did nothing. And not treating my siblings like objects.
We're not objects. We're people. Like, it was fabulous. And she's like, I'm leaving. And fucking snatches his fucking coat and hat. And
Walter and Viola walk him out.
So like, we'll walk him out. And at first, like, the mother's like, I can't believe this motherfucker. And then she starts smiling. She's like, that little timid boy had the nerve to talk back to me. My, has he grown? And it made his mother like happy in a twisted way. Like his
even Walter was smiling when Alice was like, hey, let's go to your home. And then Bo-chan was like, no, let's go to our home.
Our home.
And she starts blushing. And then there is an after credit. They're playing cards. Rob, Bo-chan, and Alice.
Yeah.
They eventually led to just Alice and Bo-chan together. And you see Bo-chan, like, I'm going to prove my love to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to break this curse, no matter what it takes.
Because he tells her, like, I told my mother I want to marry you, and she didn't like it, or whatever. And, you know.
And then he passed out, and you see Alice, like, tuck him in while he's sleeping, sitting up. And she said, I love you too.
Oh my God. I cried during that. It was so beautiful. That whole scene, like, it just, you know, I'll fanboy about it on Monday. Cause I, you know, me and romance animes, I'll definitely talk about it. But, yeah, dude, the way, just like the look, there was the constant facials that they gave each other, like the expressions that were drawn were so pertinent to the emotions that they wanted to draw out of the viewer, and they succeeded. I mean, goddamn, I felt pain when I saw their face. I felt happiness and that calm of being with, like, I understood that, and it was like, it was moving. Like, I didn't expect Duke to move me at the end the way it did. It was fucking great. It was great. It was great. It's definitely, for me, the number three anime of the year behind our last two that we're going to talk about.
Okay. Before I get to that, I'm going to say this. Can people shut the fuck up about how it's animated?
I don't know why people, you know, so you know something?
I don't mind CG, 3D type anime if it works with what the story is and if it looks good. Berserk, I understand. Berserk was awful.
This reminded me of Tim Burton so much, and it worked. Yes. It fucking worked. It was great. It is one of the pieces that makes it so unique. It was great. The season was great. It was. I can't find anything bad about this season. Or about not. Yeah. Sorry, that episode. That season. That
show. Look, people hate, like, it for, like, most of these fans. Like, it has to be the regular old school 2D animation, nothing else, no CG, no 3D, no stills.
Oh,
it's like shut the fuck up! It worked. I probably would have liked it a little less if it was 2D. It worked well with these characters.
It was great. It made it unique. It made it very unique, and it's gonna be. I think Aquatope wins in terms of animation. I would say. Because the way that's animated was stupendous. But Duke of Death.
We'll talk about that Monday. But yeah, it's probably my favorite 3D type animation.
Yeah. I would agree. I saw Cestus and I thought that was okay. And Duke of Death blows Cestus out the water.
It was clean. It was smooth.
Yeah. It was great.
Like, it wouldn't. Again, I don't think all that would have worked in 2D, especially with how Alice likes to tease Bo-chan.
Yeah. It doesn't hit. It just doesn't hit. And, you know, even if it does, it's stuff we've already seen.
Yeah, like not, again, like, it's not, that's because it's a preferred thing. Doesn't mean it should be how it should be animated for everything.
Yeah.
Because you're going to want something different. Like the Ghibli film, Tale of Princess Kaguya, that was all watercolor. Mm. And that was great.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It fit that story. If it fits the story of what is told, just enjoy it. Jesus Christ. Like, same with House Husband.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, when I first started watching the show, I would make a point like, oh, it's CG. And then eventually, as the show got better and we started seeing more from the anime, I didn't care. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about it at all. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't think about it one bit until I wrote my review for it for my anime Instagram. That was when I started noticing, like, yeah, it's CGI. It will remind you of Tim Burton. It's the animation's really clean, smooth, all that, blah blah blah, etc. So,
hey, this I would not mind as a live action series, even if Tim Burton does. No, you don't have to worry about whitewashing or anything like that. Like, if you can get someone that works with that haunted type gothic romance esque ordeal, you can make it work. You actually can.
I don't know,
but people really don't. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If the right person had it, yeah, like Tim Burton, like definitely Tim Burton.
Yeah, but Tim Burton doesn't do Japanese, as far as we know.
Well, he peaked, so.
Yeah. So, anyway, I loved it. It was stupendous. Absolutely
fantastic stuff.
It was really
good in the beginning. And at the very end, it's like, it's amazing.
Yeah. Analyst.co gave it a 74%.
And 7.6 on my anime list.
About right. I would give it a solid 8.
Here we get to the great final two.
The great final two. You know, you want to know something? And I'll say this about one more thing about Duke of Death. I enjoyed Remake. Of course, I enjoyed Remake. Duke of Death hit harder for me, I think, at the end than Remake did.
Yeah, we'll get to Remake now, actually. But I'm going to talk about stuff I liked and then stuff I had a little problem with. But we'll get to it. It's not big. It's just more
with Remake?
Yes.
All right, we'll go with Remake. Okay. I was going to go with... I was like saying Duke of Death because it's funny, but it doesn't hit the same as Remake. But that's fine. We can go with Remake.
Yeah. All right, let's get to Remake.
Oh, man. I just, you know...
What did we talk about last time? We talked about... was it Kyoya hitting rock bottom? That was the last time we left off?
Yeah, last time we talked about it was basically when Surayuki leaves school and all their efforts were for nothing. And then he wakes up and...
And everyone lost their passion.
Yeah. No, he didn't realize that till after the fact. He wakes up and...
I know, but I'm saying, we still talked about it.
No, I don't think so, dude.
We did. No, that was the last thing.
Did we?
Yeah, we talked about how Nako stopped singing. Shinaaki starts doing arts.
Mm-hmm.
Minori didn't do arts.
Yeah,
so that was where we left off. We didn't go to after.
Okay, so let's start with after. Basically, Noya is still being dependent on Kyoya. Like, god damn it.
Yeah.
I'm tired. It's fucking 11.
I know. We're almost done. We got two left.
Yeah, so Kyoya is still being relied on in this life. And heavily, and so
Eddie was telling the boss, like, hey, all this is gonna work. I actually had a backup plan
because we have to back up because Kawasagawa is in some shit with their development. And basically, the boss is a dick and wants things done his way instead of realizing
he wants it done like on schedule, no pushback, care how bad it
sucks.
Is.
Like this, and Kyoya like mentions, like, yo, the system sucks, it's doomed for failure. We really, if we want to do our system, we have to do it right, or we shouldn't do it at all. And the director's like, I don't give a fuck. And so they do it. The project goes to shit. And it's not Kyoya's fault. It all falls on Kawasagawa, because Kawasagawa's team is the one that's dealing with it.
Yeah, the program.
And so as part of the ramifications of it, people are basically, you know, the typical Japanese sad work. Environments, like, they're working overtime, they're not, you know, they're getting paid, but they're overstressed, overworked, you know, they're falling asleep at their desks, the morale is complete and absolute shit,
and at least a lot of glitches and bugs.
Yeah, and so it's a terrible fucking time. And so Kyoya basically finds it within his soul, like, at first he's like, I don't want to help her, because he starts realizing the reason why these people lost their passion is because of the fact that in their previous life they didn't have Kyoya. They figured out their problems on their own, or they had somebody else to help them. And so when Kyoya realized that he became everyone's crutch. He became like, they couldn't make their decisions on their own, especially people like Nanako and Surayuki, who he affected so much. And then we also get, as we learn, like, well, I'll get to that. That's fine. But in any case, basically he doesn't want to help. He wants to, you know, and people start asking him for more help. Like he tries to be dependent and he starts backing away and it shocks everyone. But then he really, he realizes that's not his character. His character isn't to shy away. It's to, you know, it's to be there for people. It's to, you know, find a way. Kyoya's character is like the epitome of like a Asta or a Naruto of like the never give up, never say die, mara mara mara, you know, like, you know, it's that's Kyoya in a nutshell. It's, you know, finding a way. And so he fires up and he stands up to his boss and he says, no, we're gonna fucking find a way. He didn't say fucking, he said we're gonna find a damn way. And so that's how that episode, the penultimate episode ends.
Before that though, mm-hmm. He was watching an email of Naoko coming back to singing.
Yes, as well. That also helped motivate
him. Like, yeah, like I'm mad at him. Like, I don't forgive him, but he helped me. And yeah. She started, I'm going to actually sing again. Cause that would kind of like hurt him. Cause he helped me. And if I should, like, she wants to return that favor essentially.
Yeah. And that helps motivate him and helps him realize everything that I kind of laid out.
And so, then we get to,
the finale, which is a very good finale.
Well, before that, again, he stands up to his boss. Okay. Like, I had the backup plan. I bought all this stuff. It fits the budgets.
Yeah.
Like this new server, really good server. It's a lot better. No bugs. This guy came in like, hey, I'm going to type it in. Game's basically almost ready.
Yeah, basically. They're like, oh, we're going to spend time. We're going to have the public apology. We're going to give everybody 10 times the rewards they were getting as a sorry. And everyone's going to take 2 days off. And the boss loses his shit.
And then it's like, hey, like when you hired me, like you trusted me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go this far without you trusting me, ordeal.
Yeah. He's like, I like to think you're reasonable. And the boss is like, fine, do what you must. And so Kyoya saves Kawasagawa's ass. And there's a conversation and that will come into play later on in this episode. But it happens in episode, I believe, 10 or 11, as they have this talk, Kawasagawa and Kyoya, as they're having a lunch break together. And, you know, Kawasagawa says,
yeah, like, the lunch break was
might have been episode 10 when Kyoya was trying to figure out his bearings with his job.
9 or 10.
Yeah.
Well, I think 10, though.
It was 10. So, okay. She mentioned, Kawasagawa mentions, like, I want to go on a vacation and run away to Okinawa. And that we'll leave that as it stands. She basically wants to run away and leave and go to Okinawa. So, another piece I'm neglecting to mention is that, what the fuck? I just had it in my head. Yeah, the other artist.
Ayaka.
So, the other artist mentions, and Kyoya recognizes, we know in episode 9 or 10, recognizes the art that inspired her because it's Shinoaki's art. And so one of the critical pieces to get the game functioning is he goes over to speak to Ayasaka, and they have the same conversation, and he gives her a printout of one of the original art of from Harusora, which is the doujin game that they made. And so she's like, I know this is exactly what, you know, motivated you, because I know the person who motivated you and blah, 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 blah. And he helps stoke those flames for her. And so they get everything under track. Everything is good. And then in the meeting, they have a meeting, like a mini meeting. And they find out, Kawasagawa was going on a trip to Okinawa. And fucking Kyoya freaks the fuck out because he's like, oh, she's quitting. I fucked up again. I can't believe it. You know, I just tried to help her and instead I've ruined her. She didn't get a chance to figure it out. He runs after her. Come to find out, like, she canceled her flight because, you know, she saw Kyoya. And so her and Kyoya sit down, have coffee, and they have a very powerful and intimate, like, heart-to-heart. And during this heart-to-heart, Kawasagawa confesses her love to Kyoya, which takes everybody by surprise. Right. But Kyoya opens up in a way that he hasn't opened up to anybody before, because he trusts Kawasagawa as kind of like a best friend
and intellectual. Yeah, like how he felt like a failure, like he ruined everyone.
Yeah, he felt like he ruined everyone and all this stuff. And Kawasagawa was very, very poignant, very strong and powerful, and made Kyoya realize, like, listen, like, and they beat, not to mention, she did beat her with a purse, but she mentioned, like, listen, you were struggling and suffering this whole time, and because you were worried about everybody else, you neglected yourself. Had I known or had you expressed this to me at the time that you were feeling it, I would have done everything I possibly could to help you, because you've done everything you possibly could to help everyone else. And we should recognize that. And it really opens up Kyoya's eyes to how he took everything on his own. He made himself seem like this hero, like, you know, and that was a lot of things that he mentioned. He's like, oh, like, I'm just doing stuff to be self-fulfilling. I'm not doing anything to help anybody at the end of the day, when by reality, that's false. He really was helping these. He was doing this out of the kindness of his heart. He was doing it for the sake of trying to make, you know, everyone's lives, not only himself, but everybody's lives better. He just learned to realize that sometimes it's just best to not put your nose where it wasn't to begin with.
Yeah.
Which is a valuable lesson, but in this instance, it backfires again. So during the conversation, like I said, Kawasagawa says how much she loved him for, like, all the things that he did, blah, blah, blah. Like, ran down a list of everything of why she loved him. And, you know, she's like, wait, forget what I just said. Too much information. You didn't need to know that.
It was. And now I'm going on vacation.
But as she leaves on her vacation, Kyoya is sitting on a bench at the airport and is visited by
Keiko-san.
And that's the end of the penultimate episode. Now we get to the finale. The finale is they have a heart to heart about the circumstances in which they had, what led them to this point. And Kyoya tells Keiko, I want to go back. I want to fix everything. I want to do it right. I want to, you know, and
like, I want to struggle. I want to.
Yeah. And then Keiko tells her, like, yo, you're going to struggle. Like, you know, you've got a good life. You got what you wanted. I sent you back in time for you to be successful, and you're successful. You've got a beautiful wife. You've got a beautiful daughter. You're successful. You've got friends. This is what you wanted. And Kyoya's like, not like this. I didn't want this. The golden generation isn't going
to
exist.
I did not want it to be easy.
Yeah, and so Keiko's like, okay, I'll do it. And as she's about to do it, he's like, wait. He's like, I appreciate everybody here, but there's somebody I want to say goodbye to. Let's hold off. And she's like, okay. And so.
And then Shiroaki drew.
Again. I'm getting there. You got to build it up, Matt. You got to build it up. Yeah. Especially for this, because I'm so passionate about this.
All right, fine.
Got to build it up. He goes home, you know, tadaima, hokkaido nasai, you know, and what's it called? Shinoaki's daughter, Kyoya's daughter, was like, hey, mommy's a good drawer. I just found out. And she's like, oh, really? And she shows him a drawing she did, and it's beautiful. And she's like, wait, look, there's more. And Shinoaki's like, oh, you showed him already? And Kyoya's like shocked, and he breaks down and he hugs them. And she's like, oh, Papa, are you okay? Like, Kyoya, are you okay? And he's like emotional. And it's a very emotional scene. And so we come to find out that basically Shinoaki, after the conversations they had, discovers her love for drawing again, and she can't wait to draw. As in the final night that Kyoya is with her and his daughter, they lay in bed, his daughter's asleep, and Shinoaki's just bleeding her soul out to him about how much he wants to draw, how much she's excited, how she wants to rediscover her passion again, how she's not going to be around like she was before. And Kyoya's like, that's fine, I'm going to support you however I can, because, you know, you deserve it. They share a nice, like, intimate kiss together, like small kiss, nothing sexual, just a, you know, kiss on the forehead. Kyoya definitely made a run for best man there at that point. But the next day comes, he leaves, and they have a final goodbye, and they don't realize it, but they're, you know, this life is going to change. They're not going to see, like, this isn't going to happen. So he says, you know, I'm off. And they're like, have a good day. Good luck. And so he goes to a park, meets Keiko. Keiko, like, and they have one more final heart to heart where Keiko tells Kyoya, like, listen, like, you're not a bad guy. Like, we gave you this power. You've done everything that you could do, that you thought was right. You did it right. It's just circumstances led you to where you're at now. You didn't profit off of your power. You could have gone back. I thought about that too at multiple points. Like, why doesn't he just fucking, like, invest in some shit that's, like, new and then hit it super rich? But he never did. He used his power for good. He wasn't an asshole or anything like that. He, you know, as much as he says, like, oh, like, you know, you think, Keiko's like, you think that you're going back in time because you know like what the future holds and you're like this cheat code and you're a fake hero. Like, no, like you're a legitimately good guy and, you know, you're doing everything that needs to be done right. And you're going to do it right one more time because that's the type of person you are. And I believe in you. Very, very supportive. Very, very nice. I would, you know, and we'll talk about this. I guess, well, I'll bring it up now. I really wish they would have gone more in depth. And maybe if they get a season two, which I'll get into momentarily, we can go in depth on who Keiko is and how this came to be. Because
yeah, I'll talk about that when you're done, Raven, over there.
Yeah, so he goes back in time. Apparently, Kyoya, when he goes back in time, passes out from stress and sadness after.
Yeah, he woke up where he left off.
Yeah, he woke up where he left off, and Kyoya's emotional. He's like, "I'm Tadaima," tells everyone, "you know, I'm home, I'm back," and everyone's like, "Oh, Hokkaido Nasai, welcome home, welcome back." And everyone's upset about Tsuruyuki, and he takes what he learned in his past life or in his future life back here. He's like, listen, we got to focus on the future. We miss him, but we got to focus on us. But he slowly starts seeing like the things that happened. They're starting to occur. Basically, he forces Nanako to make a decision about, you know, being solo. Where before Kyoya would always support her, always do stuff for her. And he's like, I don't know. She doesn't know. I don't know. I want you to tell me what to do. Kyoya's like, no, you should figure this out on your own. And it upsets Nanako, but he does it for her sake. And she ends up coming out better for it at the end of the day. And she keeps going with herself, which is good. Meanwhile, though, Shinoaki is facing, and the whole reason why Shinoaki stops drawing, by the way, is because of the fact that during the game he basically shunned Shinoaki's opinions, even though they were better and it should have been done. They couldn't be done in time for the project to have been a success for
like,
sure.
Like he was, yeah, this is why he was that, more focused on that, time, like his boss was.
And that pseudo affected Shinoaki, that subtly affected her, for her to like lose her passion because she didn't get what she wanted. Not because she's like a fussy bitch or anything like that. Just it snuffed
the fact that she couldn't express herself.
Yeah, creatively. It snuffed her creativity and she fell into a rut. And so Kyoya's basically like idea is to get her to draw, get her to draw, get her to draw, get her to draw. And we don't at this juncture see that at the present time. But she still does draw. It's just not like the same.
She's working on it slowly.
Yeah, and there's a fateful encounter one day as Kyoya is walking from school, thinking about what's next, what he's doing, what he should do. He bumps into a girl. The girl drops all of her shit. He says he's sorry. He picks up the stuff, and one of the things he picks up was Haru Sora. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And then the next thing he picks up is her ID. Her ID is
Ayaka.
Ayaka. So basically,
with black hair.
Yeah, so basically we see Ayaka the Kohai with black hair and all of that in the same school as the Platinum Generation and as Kyoya, who, you know, all that would inspire her. So it inspires Kyoya. Kyoya does what he can, you know, and then he basically also approaches, you know, Kohai Ayaka to try and get her help on something that we don't know. And the season ends on a huge cliffhanger. One day Kyoya is walking around, and we see Tsuruyuki exit a theater, and when he looks to his right, he sees Kyoya there. He's shocked Kyoya's in front of him. Kyoya has a look of resignation, not resignation, I'm sorry. He's got like he's resolve. You can see his resolve. Like he's got like expressive resolve in his face. He walks up to Tsuruyuki, and that's where it ends. So they left it off perfect for a season two. Whether that season two or not happens, we don't know. There's been reports in Japan of people hating fucking Kyoya, hating the writing and the direction of the show. I don't understand it. And it would be a damn shame if they don't at some point do a season two, because this was fucking awesome.
All right. I did like it a lot, but again, this was one of those, if this is how it really ends, then it's a little disappointing.
For sure.
And yeah, I want to know about how did Keiko get this power? How did she give Kyoya this power? Was it like a Jiminy Cricket, "When You Wish Upon a Star" type of thing?
Yeah.
That he was singing. Basically, where did it come from? How did she get it, and why did she give it to him, and how did she find him?
My theory is it has something to do with his sister.
Maybe. We don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, I know.
And part of me is like, I feel like he should have stayed. Like, because again, people were getting their passion back. Like Naoko, Aki, Shinoaki, Ayaka.
But I felt like that would be, like, I get your principle. You're not wrong. I just feel like that would be selfish of him, because at the end of the day, he still snuffed out the Platinum Generation. The world doesn't understand.
But I feel like this, like,
the creations of the Platinum Generation, it's not the same. And at the end of the day, what makes the show so unique and so, like, it draws you to, is you have these four unknown characters that are the pillars of Japanese art and expression in the time that he lived. And without that expression, you're without the pillars of the show. Obviously, the backbone and the foundation is Kyoya and his goals and objectives and ideals and things of that nature. But at the same time, you know, if you're building a house, if you don't have pillars on top of the structure, you're not going to have a stable house. And I think without that golden generation, if he stayed, it just doesn't hit the same. It doesn't have a full, like, a full house. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
Right. It makes sense. But I would like to see him try to reconcile with Naoko, find Tsuruyuki.
Sure. And, you know,
like help them or, like, reconnect type of thing. Especially, I mean, with people getting their passion back, maybe, like, they could have done something going forward together.
I'm very curious. You know what I think might have happened, if that would have happened, though? I think he would have recognized, like, it would have been some more sad shit that happened, you know, and he would have taken those experiences and what he learned into the future, which may have affected him. So in terms of what he knows what happens after the game is made. He knows the end result of what has happened, but all the stuff in between that, he doesn't know. And I think that behooves him to not know, so that way he doesn't get ahead of himself, knowing that he knows the demise of the people that he's helping as it stands, you know, because when he first jumps into this past, he's only concerned about his future. As he gets closer to everybody, he starts worrying about everybody else, because he's just naturally a kind person, and that's his natural instinct and his personality to do so. And when he goes back into the future, he understands what he did wrong and what his end result has caused for the greater purpose of the universe that he wanted to live in. So I see what you're saying. You're not wrong in it, but I don't think it
would have been satisfied.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been as satisfying as this hopefully will be if it continues. If it doesn't continue, I'm with you completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it really depends. Like, yeah, if it wasn't gonna end, then yeah, I say stay. But if they're gonna continue, then sure, see how you can fix it in the past differently. But it's just one of those we don't know.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to give it a proper grade, because I don't want to grade it as it's a one and done or the potential of there's going to be more.
I'm going to grade it based off of how it made me feel, because that's how I always grade anime. I always grade anime in terms of the story, the animation, the music, and how it made me feel. Did I laugh? Did I cry? Did I say, oh my God, that's fucking amazing action? Did I wish it was me? Did I cringe? Did I fucking hate the plot? Like, I look at how it made me feel. And I understand, like, the story, it kind of counts towards the story in terms of will it continue, will it not. But at the same time, I'm grading it as an individual anime in terms of what it achieved with my feelings. And that's always how I prioritize any anime I watch. In terms of, like, how I grade it, is always like, is there great action, great music, great animation? How did it make me? Did I cry? Laugh?
And that's completely fair.
Yeah.
But other than that, I found it very enjoyable.
I'm
not gonna spoil what goes where.
It's my new anime of the season. It may not be my anime of the season. I'm still up in the air in terms of my anime of the season, because
got a couple of days, so.
We have a couple of days. I mean, I put down my initial one, but I'm going to think about it a little bit more. Like I said, we have slime. Yeah. We have slime. I have slime. I have Remake. I have Duke of Death, because Duke of Death made a strong run at the end for me. It really, I don't think it'll win, but goddamn, it made such a
strong run. And then our final one.
And then our final one. The funniest anime by a long shot.
Life Lessons with Urumichi Oni-san. And it starts with the penultimate. Urumichi's going to quit in 30 days. I love this because it's a slice of life. It's like, you know, maybe he's going to quit smoking type of thing.
I wasn't sure. You're right.
Yeah, that was my initial thought. Like there's no way he's quitting the show. With how we get misled, especially in a slice of life where the second last episode always seems like it's the worst, but the next episode later, like, it's not as bad.
Yeah.
But Toby Kichi just basically starts freaking out because he's drunk at a bar with Kumitani.
Yeah.
And then they start reminiscing the good times, like when they met him in college, like 10 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And Urumichi was a superstar because he's the first place. All he does is work out, go to the gym.
Yeah.
Toby Kichi is the one that's like learning gymnastics, and Urumichi was someone he looked up to.
Yeah.
And they had an open spot. Like, okay, the roommate's kind of gone. He's got a girlfriend. He said, fuck us.
Mm-hmm.
Pussy before dick, you know.
Facts.
Someone from the higher ups in school, like, hey, I had this guy who's he's a place to stay because the other side is being reconstructed. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. They find out it's Urumichi. And so Toby Kichi's excited. Kumitani is just like, meh, like, what's so special about it type of thing.
Yeah.
And then we see Ikiteru and Utano like younger too during all these little flashbacks.
It was great. I love that. That was one of the low key things that I enjoyed so much about that episode. That's why I was like, oh my god, I love it, because we see young Ikiteru, we see
he's a high school student compared to them, and he still cannot read a watch. He's like, hey, do you know the time? And it's like, it's this. Like, but he has a watch.
Yeah.
And you see Utano doing basically singing outside of crowds, like small crowds.
Yeah.
Like no Broadway, no nothing.
Yeah.
But she still sings good. You see them happy before they turn miserable adults.
That is very interesting when you think about that as well, right? Is that like because they have the innocence of their youth.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone did. And and then we get the vacation. Urumichi's not with them. And like, wonder if he's coming home. I wonder if he's by himself. And then you find out the other dorm was knocked down again. Was it the hurricane, right? Because the tree fell down on it.
Yeah,
the forbidden tree.
Due to the typhoon.
Sacred tree.
Yeah, it was due to the typhoon.
Yeah, so, I guess Urumichi's going to stay with us for God knows how long.
Yeah.
And then Kumitani was like out getting drinks and all that for everyone. And you see Urumichi like, hey, I'm back from vacation.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm actually going to go to the store because they want food. It's like, oh, I'll come with you. And they actually like talk.
Yeah.
And he sees like this different side of Urumichi. Like he's someone that wants to be around company.
Yeah.
Like, he's like this depressed guy, but like he wants to, he's antisocial.
Yeah.
And he wants to work on that. And I can relate. I get it.
Right.
So I get all this from him. And then we go to the present time. Toby Kichi has a hangover. Urumichi's like, greet everyone happily. He's like, hey, how you all doing? Like, oh, what's happened? Like, I don't feel good. Oh, take this medicine. And he starts getting ready. And then Toby Kichi's like, is this what you really want to make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, this is what I want. Yeah. And then that's when Toby Kichi blurts out, like, oh, like he's leaving type of thing. And that was where that penultimate episode ended.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the finale, it's a follow-up, and they're like, should we tell him? And it's like, okay, like, yeah, he's not quitted. It's just more of the gym he goes to is closing. Yeah. He's not renewing his membership. It ends at the end of the month. And so basically Toby Kichi freaked out over nothing.
Yeah.
And he called Urumichi me for not telling him. Like, you didn't ask. Now, Kumitani knew, apparently.
No, Kumitani knows all.
Yeah, well, it's Kumitani.
Kumitani.
He built a cat shelter in this typhoon.
That was cute.
He's a great guy.
That was so cute.
He just has this intimidating aura around him.
Yeah.
But and then, like, he definitely a kind, gentle soul.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're in the break room, and then Tobikichi's talking about, this show is ending. You know, it's like our show's ending because we're watching it.
Yeah.
And I get this. It's a small little nip. This is where the comedy part of it gets in. Like, oh, like, there's always this big dramatic thing that happens at the end of a satisfying conclusion. Like, why can't we have that?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, the kid's missing from kid's missing around the studio. And like, well, this is our chance to get this big final episode thing. And they don't find the kid anywhere. And it turns out, oh, he was just in the bathroom.
Nah, why are you all here?
Yeah. So like, and then Ikiteru was like, oh, where's Ikiteru? Oh, he's talking to the director in the rehearsal room. And then he starts calling Utaro. Like, help, I'm bleeding. Like, oh, shit, we gotta go help him. Yeah. They rush towards his, oh, it was an ingrown nail that got pulled out. He's just got a small cut. He's fine.
Right.
Like, oh, thank God, type of thing. Say, like, oh, man, like, we're getting it, I swear. Then Utaro gets another call. It's from her boyfriend. Talks about marriage over the phone. She's getting happy. Yeah, and it's like, oh, I see. It's my friend's getting married, and I need money. And it's
like, then she turns Super Saiyan.
He went Super Saiyan and just hung up. I was like, why are you still with this person? And then and she comes out. I was like, oh, like I. And the guitar is like expressed, like, I'll be sad if you actually left. It's like, no, I wouldn't leave. No, I'm not leaving now. It's like, oh. And then Ikiteru's sister comes in with the dog collapsed on the floor.
Yeah.
It's like, is he dead? Like, is she dead? It's like, no, it's she won a war for a good girl at this dog show.
Yeah, just one thing after another after another.
I know. And then another one, this girl dropped her handkerchief or whatever.
Psych!
Toby Kichi's like, I'll give it to her. And then it's Capellini, the flamboyant one.
Ooh,
like, oh, you found it. But you're gonna invite me for tea, huh? I'll take you up on that.
No, he's like, I'll think about it.
And then he just tells the girl, like, yeah, he's actually my type.
Oh, he's your type. Meanwhile, fucking Toby Kichi's dead as fuck. Like, I can't believe I did that. Oh my god.
Yeah. But like they go for all this, and then they're all like laughing about it after. Oh, I'm sorry. The director Amon keeps torturing Uramichi for ideas.
Uramichi, Uramichi-san,
help me,
Uramichi-san.
I need your brain. He's like telling me him no every single time, and then they're like these bonjour men or whatever. Oh God, they like, what? Onisa, why are you wearing that outfit? Like, you know, if someone could answer that question, I could die happy.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's the only one that wears these weird outfits that does not fit the theme of everyone. And that's why, you know what? Yeah, if I was him, I would die inside too every time if I get all this.
Yeah.
But eventually, they all go out, and the director is, like, stalking Urumichi. Like, I will get ideas from you. And what do you call it? Kikaku, even... fucking tease Uramichi. He's like, hey, I need to talk to you. What? Just has his hand on his shoulders like about to talk. He's like, never mind. As like, just when I was about to open up again, the door was like shutting back and forth inside his heart.
She was funny.
Yeah, but bro,
fucked up life. Homeboy had a fucked up life.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Fuck. God damn.
Yeah, dude. I was like, wow, dude. Fucking like this. Oh, my steady girlfriend. I've been together. And like, oh, I don't want kids. Like, oh, we want to broke up. Like, oh, she could let everybody fuck her. She got pregnant.
Yeah, like, Uramichi genuinely felt bad for him.
To get fucking this kid onto the show. And he did.
Yeah. But after all that, Uramichi was like happy because they're all laughing together. Like, you know what? Yeah, this is the final episode. Like, I'm okay with that. Then, did you see the after credit?
No, there was an after credit?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, basically, they're all like, say they want to go out, like dinner, drinks to celebrate type of thing.
Yeah.
And they, let's try Dragon Uramichi. He won't come. And then he says, I'll come, like that type of thing. Like, yeah, like a happy smile type of thing. Yeah. And he like winked at the camera, like, don't tell anyone. I thought that was cute. Like, I hope we get a season two, but I think with how it ended, I don't think we are.
No, I don't think. I think this is it.
But no, this was not in our radar at all.
No, it wasn't.
It's like until like a random meme or two popped up calling us out as adults, and then I watched it, and it was just fucking hysterical. But after that, you get the stuff behind it, like the depression, life of adulthood, like the fact that, yeah, you had all these ambitions and goals. You're overqualified for this stuff. And then it's just, this is what you're stuck with. This is your life, essentially.
That's how I felt a lot of times, dude. That's why I like it so much.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Again, like Utado and Ikitaro, like these Broadway singers.
Yeah.
Special, like, Urumi, she's an Olympic prodigy.
Yeah.
And with a kick out to it, like, he had stuff going for him.
Oh, dude.
Until all that shit happened.
Yeah.
And then it's just, yeah, like, you get all the stuff, you're qualified. You could do so much more, but you don't get it.
Yeah.
And it's depressing.
Yeah, dude.
Like, shit. Like, this is fucking amazing.
It hits you in the feels because it fucking it hits you with really reality. Goddamn.
Yeah.
It really is reality.
Exactly. That's what, I guess that's what drew me to it.
No, I agree. I love that. It made me happy. I died laughing. And then I'm like, oh, man, that really.
You shouldn't be laughing. Like, you shouldn't be laughing because, like, deep down, like, that's a kind of, it's kind of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, like, all it boiled down to. And they hit that right. And, like, and when you get those genuine moments, like, when Urumichi was talking about, like, harassment, that type of thing, like, how to deal with it. And Kumutani just, like, listening to him.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, all this stuff in the background.
Yeah, you learn, you get a lot of valuable lessons, dude. You really do. It's pretty, you know, if I'm being honest, dude, something that really, like, hit me. I wrote this quote. I don't know if you saw my story or not on my Instagram, but I wrote this quote and it's not here anymore. Fuck, I wish I had it. But it was like from the penultimate episode where they talked about dreams, you know, and it's like, it's okay. And they gave you like, and I love those type of quotes. And there were a few quotes in the season that really made you like, wow, like it was real life lessons. And it's funny because he's telling this to fucking 2-year-olds and 5-year-olds. And it made me chuckle like, oh, what does a 5-year-old fucking know? But of course, we all know that Japan is one of the, you know, more one of the more smarter countries in the world.
And more so, age progressive mentally.
So maybe fucking they do. And this is what we see. But I mean, it hits you. It's like, wow, fuck that. Like that makes so much sense. And it's very quotable.
But yeah, again, beautiful, brilliant stuff with this.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad we picked this up.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We are going to take a quick commercial break.
We didn't take a commercial break this whole time.
I know. Well, because we had like 6 shows. I was like, so we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to have our closing thoughts. No recommendations. We'll give that next week. I mean, we'll give it to the awards. Plugins, and we out of here. Be right back, people. All right. We're back, folks.
Tadaima.
Yes. It's been 3.5 hours. Oh, God. If we did the awards today, it'd be like 6 hours. If we recorded the awards today, it'd be a like 6 hours.
No.
Basically, this will conclude our summer reviews. Closing thoughts of the summer.
Underrated. Very underrated. Very solid. I know we had some that were disappointing. For me, I didn't have anything that was critically disappointing. There were a lot of surprises. I was appreciative of the amount of surprises that I got.
Yeah, like some we expected not to be great turned out to actually be.
Yeah, I got
better than expected.
I got a great story from Million Lives. I got solid endings from Kageki and Girlfriend.
We had beautiful performances from Kengeki. We got the comedy cliches from Urumichi, like this mop poking all the slice of life comedy finales.
Duke of Death making a strong run at the end for my anime of the year and making me cry. The remake just being solid as a whole and you know, being remake as I've said, but
yeah.
And of course the action scenes from fucking Slime and from My Hero, specifically the Villain Academia arc.
Right.
Fuck, those are so good. Tsukamichi being a surprise as well with their action and darkness. I guess my main thing would probably be the surprises. And we didn't even talk about Akuto. We didn't even talk about Boruto. I cannot wait till I can talk about Boruto and we can talk about the what's really been trending in the anime world, which is the fight between Boruto and Ishiki. I know what happened thanks to the manga because I've seen the manga spoilers, but I can't wait to see that fight. I can't wait to see Aquatope because I know some of the things that happened in Aquatope since I'm in charge of the thread in our anime.
I did start the second core of Aquatope
today. Yeah, it did come out today.
It hits completely different.
Is it like good or bad?
No, like it's like how the Mahdi have fallen in terms of Kukuru.
All right, we'll get into it.
Yeah, but the new OP and ED are really good.
Good.
I like the core ones better, but these are nice.
I mean, and I won't give another spoiler. That's fine. We'll save that.
Yeah,
we'll
I've enjoyed the summer more than I expected to.
Yeah.
Despite it being difficult summer. With our schedule, with summer, we like to enjoy the summer.
Yeah. So for me, my biggest takeaway is the surprises of the summer. Very surprising.
Oh yeah, no, that's but that was definitely the highlights of that. All right, everyone, we talked our cake, we ate our cakey, we're now full of cakey.
Dude, we're so sleepy. It's like we really did like OD on cake.
We OD'd. We're in a diabetic coma right now.
I feel like that, dude. Like I still got to do dishes, and I'm like,
I gotta get up in like 5 hours.
I gotta get up in like 7. I'm not too far behind. Yeah.
All right, but you can follow me on Twitter at DamianPhoenix12. We also want to thank W2M Network for hosting us on various like Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music. Mm-hmm. Also want to thank Chairshot Radio for hosting us on other various podcasts, especially on iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. We got a popular trend on a couple of times. Like I don't want the specific numbers in general, but we have been getting good numbers.
Yeah, which is shocking.
Which is great. We're on the entertainment section, which that's not wrestling.
It's competitive. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So if we keep getting those good numbers, we'll have a better time slot. So Sunday noon.
Yeah, and you saw with Sean, you saw Sean's numbers that he told us in terms of how we're training.
Oh, yeah, we had a big gap, yeah.
I was like, wow. And we've had a big gap. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like has been mentioned before, your episode with Avenged Lion is crucial to that. And our news, for those who are wondering, in case you didn't see, we have some news coming up on Monday in regards to the future of the show. Good news, exciting news. It'll be more in Matthew's realm, as I said, but I'll still be part of that as well.
Help. We'll talk about more of that Monday.
Indeed.
But, put your plugs in.
Yeah, so you guys can follow me on my multiples of Instagrams. You can follow me at my anime Instagram, AI_anime24. You can follow me on my podcast Instagram, podcast.senpai. And you can follow us at our Talk the Keiki Instagram, at Talk the Keiki, TalkTheKeiki. So you can follow us on there. If you click on the link tree, we got to make one for our thing, by the way, but I think you have to make it, because for me,
I'm gonna try to find a day.
All right, I'll send it to you. Just let me know.
I'm probably gonna get an updated art picture as well.
Okay.
So
we'll make a link tree for you guys for our group. But if you click on any of my link trees, you can see any of my other stuff. You can catch me on my other podcast, the Atlanta Tragic Podcast. Shout out to my co-host B Ronan, the MMA for Marks podcast, which after us another hiatus I took with my boy Andy. I'm recording tomorrow evening, so we'll hopefully have something for you by next week. And we'll also be going to sound as well for that. And I've got to get that set up. So I'm looking forward to the future of the MMA for Marks podcast with my boy Andy. Shout out to them. If you guys want to keep up with MMA news, boxing news, things of that nature, listen to that. If you want to hear me talk shit and really say some really incredibly offensive shit, listen to me on the Tragic Podcast. I'll definitely offend you there. And a couple pieces of information just for shits and giggles. Oh, and by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at @shostoppa24, showstoppa24. I'll be on there as well. But a couple things for shits and giggles. This Saturday, the second, nobody will have fucking heard this by then, so this is kind of a moot point, but I will be at the Orlando Amphitheater for Illenium. And also November 12th, 13th, and 14th, I will be in, I think it's 10th, 11th, and 12th. 10, 11, 12. Either way, the second weekend of November, EDC Orlando, I will be there. Dude, I'm thinking about getting a fucking a banner or like a flag and flying my podcast, our podcasts and shit on it.
Yeah, do it up. Why not?
Dude, like, I think that would be fucking wicked as shit, dude. So if you see me out there, if you see me with a Talk the Keiki banner, a podcast senpai, iAnime, if you recognize any of that, if you see me out there at EDC Orlando, come holler at me. Come talk to me. Come be a part of my little crew. I mean, I'm not doing hard drugs, but, you know, if you do, that's cool, too. Whatever. Shit. Let's just have a good time.
Also, we will see you Monday when we talk about our full spring awards. There's gonna be no review unless he finishes Aquatope in time. But you check out what our top of the season is. I haven't even told him yet. I haven't wrote down my stuff on the list yet.
I know you said
for like two.
Little motherfucker.
I need to think.
Enough about your likes to kind of fill in the blanks. So I have a good idea of what you're going to put in for several of these categories.
Right, but you don't know what order for the top 10.
I guess.
But yeah, we're going to be doing that. We'll be talking about our announcements, and we are also going to close off with our fall lineup of what we're going to be watching. But it looks like it's mostly going to be together, so that would probably definitely save time.
Yeah.
And the only continuation we have is Aquatope, so we're just going to just put it in with the fall shit. It's just that one.
We'll start off with Aquatope basically every week at this point.
Yeah, more or less, yes.
Yeah, we're going to start, unless something really catches us or makes us feel like shit or angry. But no, we'll start off with Aquatope, I think. And then also, like I mentioned, we'll have the news in terms of the future of the show. Looking forward to sharing that with you guys. It's something that we've been talking about since fucking early July, late June. Because again, at the end of the day, as much as Matthew and I enjoy talking to each other and talking to you guys about anime, we want to have the best product, the most interactive product that we can. So hopefully with this news on Monday, we'll be able to take another step forward toward that ultimate
fucking
broad goal that we have.
All right. Until next time, arigato, and after ofaku, and sayonara.
Sayonara, minasan!
Does incontinence have you dreading every sneeze or cough? Cooper University Healthcare can help you live free of worry. As the region's leading academic health system, Cooper Pelvic Medicine and Reconstructive Surgery Specialists offer advanced therapies and treatments to help you go from incontinence to confidence. Schedule an appointment with our specialist today. Cooper University Healthcare. Committed. Compassionate. Complete.
If you've never played a game that's so much fun, it's impossible to put down, then you've never played Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the best match 3-style mobile puzzle game out there. It's basically an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. Most of the match 3 games on the market are just the same old format with different colors and maybe cookies instead of candies. But Best Fiends is different. You play through an actual storyline, complete with adorable, collectible characters called fiends. As you get further along in the game, you'll watch your fiends grow from wee baby versions of themselves into full-grown characters. The more you play, the more powerful and helpful your fiends become. So if you're tired of crushing the same old candy, give Best Fiends a try. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. Play Best Fiends.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.